Earth's greatest happening. Jesus came out of the grave. Amen. 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 You have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 27. And normally on Easter, I preach on the resurrection. And I tell you, I prayed and prayed, and I just believe that this is the message that God has for me. And so I'm going to preach the message that God gave me. I don't want to take away from the resurrection, though. While I'm going to speak to you today on life's greatest question, I don't want to leave out that the resurrection is life's greatest happening. But what is life's greatest question? Well, I think we have it in the text that Pastor David read in your hearing. I want you to focus in particular on verse number 22, verse 22 of Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. Now, you may be here and you say, well, I don't have my Bible with me. There may be one under your seat. If you'd like to get it and look at it, you can do so, or just look on with your neighbor. We're going to turn to a few passages of Scripture before I get into the real depth of what God's laid on my heart. I want you to notice in verse number 22, Matthew 27, verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What a question. Have you answered that question in your life? What am I going to do with this Jesus? We hear about him all the time. Time is marked by him. They're trying to take that away, but it's still B.C. and A.D. A.D., Anno Domini, which is Latin, in the year of our Lord, B.C. before Christ. He's still March time. This is still in the year of our Lord. Jesus is still the most important figure of the world that the world has ever known. This happening that we're reading and looking at this morning is not just some antiquated fairy tale. It is a reality that is recorded not only in religious history, but in secular history. Amen. And so when I look at this question, there's three things that come to mind in particular, just by way of introduction. And that is, first of all, it's a personal question. Notice what Pilate said here, and we'll get more into who this Pilate is in just a moment. But in verse 22, he said, what shall I do? So, well, I'm going to let my parents take care of this, preacher. No, this is a personal question. What shall I do? See, every individual is confronted with this question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Number two, it's not only a personal question, but it's a very prominent question. It's a pertinent question. It's a question that, well, it's so important that heaven and hell really hinges on the answer to that question that you answer in your heart. What am I going to do with Jesus? We're all confronted with it. We're all confronted with it. He's our creator. He's our maker. But he's our savior. What are we going to do with Jesus? Well, this man had a decision to make. And you're going to have a decision to make. Perhaps you've already made it. I trust that you made the proper decision. But then finally, not only is it a personal question, not only is it a pertinent question, but it is a pressing question. In other words, until you get this question answered in the affirmative, until you get it right, it's just going to continue to come up. It's just going to continue to come up. Why? Because God is gracious that way. Now, I want to go on record saying that God, listen, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But now his spirit shall not always strive with man. There's going to come a day when, whether you answer this question in the affirmative or not, your day is going to be up. Now for Pilate, he was confronted. I want to talk to you about a few things about Pilate. And then what we're going to do here today is you're going to be a jury. All right? We're going to try Jesus today. I'm going to let you try him. See, I personally believe, and I've studied the Scripture, you study history, it was a kangaroo court. It was a court that was thrown together for just the very fact that they wanted to indict Jesus, so there was false witnesses, there was a lot going on this day, and they did not like Jesus, they hated Jesus. And brethren, I got to tell you, there may be somebody here that feels that way today. I don't know. I don't know what's in man's heart. I know that we live in a world that doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. So it hasn't changed much. You say, well, I love Jesus. Well, thank God. I'm glad that you do. But not everyone feels the way you do. And so we're going to look at some biblical evidence. We're going to look at some historical evidence. But before we do, I want to give you a little backdrop about this man Pilate and what's going on here. All right? So who is Pilate? Well, Pilate is a Roman governor. He governed in the days of Caesar Tiberius. And he's kind of over this province of Jewish people, and there was a lot of things going on among the Jewish people in this day about this person named Jesus Christ. Pilate, no doubt, had heard some things, and he had heard of some miracles that this newcomer had done, this Jew who said he was king of the Jews, who some said this man is the Messiah, others said, well, this man, he does many wonderful miracles, and you just have to see this man. You have to hear him speak. Never a man spake like this man speaks, they came back and would say. And so Pilate was confronted with some things in his life, and I want you to see what he's confronted with, because I believe that all of us will be confronted with these things if we have not already, about this person Jesus. He said, I'm going to make my own decision, preacher. That's exactly what I want you to do. That's exactly what God wants you to do. Make your own decision. Now, notice what happened here. This voice, and I want to talk to you about four voices. First of all, look at this voice in verse 18. Would you look down in chapter 27, verse 18? It's the voice of reason. In Matthew 27 and verse number 18, notice what the Bible says. For he, and of course that's Pilate, for he, Pilate, knew that for envy they had delivered him, meaning Jesus. So Pilate knew this is a farce. See, Pilate had heard some witnesses. Pilate had heard from some folks. He had witnessed some things. And so when they brought Jesus to him, he knew, you know what? These people, they have selfish motive involved. They're making an unreasonable choice. They're making an unreasonable decision. It's all based on emotion. Instead of reasoning through and thinking it through, and Pilate, who was not a fool, you don't become a Roman governor by not thinking things through, by not being a thinking man. And so he knew some things. Look at it in verse number 18. For he knew, you see that? He knew some things. See, I believe that there's a lot of people that have not received Jesus, but they know some things. I believe there's a lot of folks who haven't accepted Jesus, who have not come to Christ, who have not trusted him as their personal Savior, but yet in the back of their mind and even in the recesses of their heart, they just know that there's something different about this man. There's just something different about this person called Jesus. Amen. Pilate knew it. Amen. The voice of reason. Then number two, look at verse 19. Matthew 27, verse 19, the voice of love. Look, if you would, when he had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife. Now think of this. His wife sent unto him saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Don't have anything to do with this man. Don't you condemn this man. This is a just man. Right? You see how the voice of love came to Pilate and said, listen, you make a right decision here. I wonder how many are sitting here this morning that the voice of love came to you. Maybe it was the voice, as it was in my life, the voice of a grandmother. And she would tell me as a little boy, you need to know about this person, Jesus. And I would just, you know, I would just block it out of my mind. I would just blow it off. And there were other people that God put in the pathway of my life. And I just believe that in the pathway of every person's life, somewhere along the line, especially in this Western culture, in this Western society, where the Bible is so freely preached and where the Bible is so readily available, I just believe that there's voices of love that come our way, whether it be in the way of a spouse, whether it come in the way of a teacher, a preacher, a friend, a neighbor. Somebody has said, have you heard about Jesus? Do you know Jesus? The voice of love. I read the story of a young man who his mother would tell him often about Jesus. He didn't want to hear about Jesus. He wanted to live his life. He wanted to sow his wild oats. He wanted to do life his way. There was an occasion in his life when he had gotten off of work and he stopped by a store. When he stopped by the store, there was someone there who gave him a gospel tract. And he said, I'd like for you to read this sometime on the back. It'll tell you how to be saved and you can know Jesus. And he looked at him and said, keep your gospel track. He left that store and went on down the road and pulled into a gas station. When he pulled in there, there was someone standing beside him pumping gas. And he reached into his pocket and he said, hey, son, he said, I'd like to give you a gospel tract. And he said, what? And he said, I'd like to give you something to tell you how you can be saved and go to heaven. He said, keep your gospel tract. So he goes home. It's a Friday and he's off for the weekend. He's ready to party and have a big time. And he gets ready. And as he's getting ready to get his coat and walk out the door, he picks up his coat and down beside his coat is a gospel tract that his mother had placed there in hopes that he would read it and reconsider what he was getting ready to go out to do. And he looked over at his mom and he said, I tell you right now, he said, I'm about sick and tired of these gospel tracts. When will I ever get away from the gospel tracts? Where can I go that somebody won't try to tell me about Jesus? And lovingly, she looked at him and said, son, there is a place you can go that no one will tell you about Jesus. It's a place called hell. And if you don't receive him, you're going to go there. And no one will ever tell you about Jesus again. I want to tell you, if someone is telling you about Jesus, don't put them off. Don't blow them off. Don't take them lightly. It's because they love you. It's not that they're trying to badger you. And I realize some people can badger, but most folks who want to give you something to read, most folks who want to tell you about Jesus are just doing it because they care about your soul. The voice of love, the voice of reason. And then notice if you would, you're going to have to turn on this one. Turn over to the Gospel of Luke just for a moment. The Gospel of Luke, would you turn there? Luke chapter 23. There's not only the voice of reason and the voice of love, but in Luke 23, we see this same story. You'll see in verse number 1, it's talking about Pilate and that situation going on there. And you'll come down in verse number 4, and then it says this. In Luke 23, in verse number 4, then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man. You know, every year about this year, Easter, and then again at Christmas, it cycles around, and there's just a lot of discussion about this person, Jesus Christ. There's a lot of discussion. Who is this Jesus? And what's he all about? And where was he from? And what did he do? And how authentic is he? And listen, the questions go on. Well, I can tell you from a man who was a Roman governor who said, I have listened to the testimonies, I have witnessed his life, and I'm here to tell you that I find no fault in this man. Now, that's saying a lot from a Roman governor who he had been turned over to execute. He said, I find no fault in this man. As a matter of fact, the Bible says over and over again that Jesus is harmless. He's the Son of God. He's spotless. He's undefiled. He has never done any sin. There was one occasion in John chapter 8 where he stood before a group of religious people and he said, which one of you convinceth me of sin? Who is it? Who can stand up and say that there's fault in Jesus Christ? I wonder today. I would not in any way sit you down, but if you could stand up and give me proof that Jesus Christ was a sinner, I would invite you to do that. Can I tell you that there's no one that's ever been able to prove or show where Jesus Christ sinned? Brother, you know what that tells me? That tells me that many, many, many people who will not receive Jesus are doing it willfully against their conscience. They know that Jesus hasn't sinned. They know that Jesus is different. They know that Jesus is God's Son. They know that Jesus is holy. Just like this man. And yet he said, I find no fault in him. His conscience was speaking to him. You know why conscience speaks to us? Because the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 9 that Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man that cometh into the world has been lit by the light of Jesus Christ to know that there is a power that is higher, that there is someone who has paid the price of sin. There is someone that is different. There is someone that is the Savior of the world, the answer to every problem that man has, and his name is Jesus. And Pilate stood before him that day and he said, I find no fault in this man. As you turn to John chapter 18, we'll see the final voice before we move to our next point. And the final voice in John chapter 18 is the voice of Jesus himself. In John chapter number 18, I hope you'll turn there and read with me as we begin our reading in verse 33. In John 18, in verse number 33, Pilate does something that every person ought to do. He had a conversation with Jesus. He said in verse number 33 of John chapter 18, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou king of the Jews? Are you who everybody is saying you are?" Verse number 34, Jesus answered him, saying, "Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it of thee, of me?" Are you wanting to know, or are you just asking because you've heard other people say it? Verse 35, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then? Who are you?" I want you to notice what Jesus tells this man. Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate, you want to know what truth is? You're looking at it. Jesus Christ, brethren, is the truth. He's the truth. He's the truth about life. He's the truth about sin. He's the truth about forgiveness. He's the truth about heaven. He's the truth about hell. He's the truth about salvation. He's the truth that man seeks in answer to the questions that he cannot find in another man. And yet Jesus has the answer. So these voices that have come to Pilate no doubt have come to you. They've come to me. Perhaps there's someone here today being confronted by these voices. Now, before we get to our trial, I want to point you in one other direction, and that is the values. If you'll notice, not only were there voices, but there were values. Turn, if you would, to Mark, just for a moment, Mark chapter 15, because here's something that's going to hurt you. It may be hurting somebody here today. I've seen it hurt many people. I've been in ministry for 35, 36 years, okay? Been a pastor and an assistant pastor for 35, 36 years. I've met a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of folks about this person called Jesus. We're getting ready to put Jesus on trial. Just need a little background so we can make a good decision here. Because you're going to make a decision today. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You say, "I'm not going to decide, preacher." Oh, yeah. Yeah, you say, "Well, I won't decide." Well, then you made a decision. Everyone has to make a decision about this person, Jesus. Now, before you make that decision, before we go any further, I want to remind you what you do with Jesus. So you be careful now, because what you do with Jesus will determine what God does with you. I'm going to say that again. What we do with Jesus determines what God does with us. So don't mistake it and think, "Well, you know, I belong to a church." It's not what you do with the church that determines what God's going to do with you. I have religion. My family's religious. That's not what determines what God's going to do with you. What you do with Jesus, God's only begotten Son, will determine what God does with you. So be careful. Don't take it lightly. So the scripture says here in Mark chapter number 15 that Pilate has some values. He had some influences. Just like today, there's going to be some to come to you. Maybe they already have. Maybe you've already been confronted with them. I don't know, but you tell me. Let's see. So here's a man that's come face to face with Jesus, and he thinks that he has Jesus to judge, but in reality, God is judging him. What are you going to do, Pilate, with my son? Be careful, because as I've said, what you do with him will determine what God does with you. And then something happened. You can almost see that Pilate's being swayed a little bit, like, you know what? I've watched this man. I've listened to this man. I've heard witnesses against him. I know that these people are envious against him. That's the only reason they have him here. Look at chapter 15 of the Gospel of Mark. Look at verse number 15. There's an interesting statement. I want you to underline a word there in verse 15. Mark chapter 15, verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people. Did you get that? Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. I've heard the witnesses. I've done the math. I'm a Roman governor. I didn't get to this place by being fooled and being tricked. That's a just man right there. But yet, the people were crying and saying, crucify him. He said, who do you want me to release to you? We want Barabbas released. What do you want me to then do with this Jesus? Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Why? Why, Pilate, would you even consider that? Look at it again, verse number 15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Public opinion will hurt you bad. It will. Public opinion. What other people think. Do you see what's happening to Pilate here? Pilate says, I've viewed this man. I've sized him up. There's nothing wrong with him. There's no fault in him. Don't y'all see it? What should I do with him? Crucify him! Crucify him! Release him to us, Barabbas. And so he willing to content the people. How many people will miss out because they're concerned about what other people think? He wanted to content that group who hadn't. Listen, you think those people cared about Pilate? They'd kill him themselves if they couldn't get away with it. They despise Pilate. I want to tell you something. Please listen to me carefully. As I said, we're getting ready to have the trial here. I want you to understand something. There'll be people that'll tell you to have nothing to do with Jesus. Have nothing to do with Jesus. You're not going to slip into heaven now. You can't back into heaven. You listening? If you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. You listening? I'm a secret disciple, preacher. Oh, away with that stuff. Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Amen. So I'm concerned about what other people think. When it comes to this thing of Jesus, I wouldn't be concerned. They say, well, you know, preacher, I think down there at Fellowship Baptist Church, you got a cult. Really? Let's see who's part of the cult. Isn't it funny that the people say that the church is a cult? They let the world tell them what to listen to, what to wear, how to dress, what to buy, where to go, where not to go, but we're the cult. Might I do some research on who's really a part of the cult? See, the God of America is the God of conformity. Right? Everybody's doing it, preacher. It's cool to be this, and it's cool to be that, and I want to be a part of that. And we're the cult. You sure? Pilate fell into it. He did. Brethren, we could go on and on and on. We could. I want you to look at John. This will be the final one. I want you to look at John, then we're going to have the trial, okay? John chapter number 18. Would you turn there? I find this very interesting. Turn to chapter 19. John 19. This will be the final time, and then we're going to let you decide. John 19. Well, Pilate now, in John number 19, you there? Chapter 19. If you recall in the book of Mark, Pilate was talking to Jesus, and Jesus was answering him. But then something happened, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. See, I'm afraid a lot of people just don't take this serious. They just think, well, you know what? Religion is just another part of life. No, religion will not only determine your quality of life in this life, to know if you have purpose, to know Jesus Christ is not only to know pardon, it's to know purpose. Please listen to me. There are many, many people that are wandering around aimlessly in life. No goal, no directive, no purpose, no aim. Because they have never gone to their Maker and said, what would thou have me to do? See, God created everyone with a purpose. And you'll only find that purpose when you come to Christ for pardon. And then attached to that, thank God, is not only the forgiveness of sin and a place in heaven for eternity, but there is a quality of life and purpose in this life. Pilate was talking to Jesus, and he was asking him these questions, and Jesus, knowing all things, knew, you know what, Pilate, you don't want to know the truth. You're looking for a loophole to get out of something so that you can excuse yourself, justify your actions, and please those people. And so if you look in chapter number 19 of the Gospel of John, you'll find where the Bible says in verse number 10 that Jesus quit speaking to him. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? That's very searching to me. See, I believe that Jesus will speak and he'll speak and he'll speak, but there'll come a time where he'll say, hey, that's it. Done. So now you be careful. You be careful if God's been speaking to you and speaking to you and speaking to you and speaking to you. And don't you presume and don't you take for granted that the God of grace will continue to speak to you. And here was Pilate. He was standing before Jesus, and he came to a place where Jesus knew, this man is not going to do anything with the truth I give him, so I'm not going to speak truth to him any longer. And he said, aren't you going to speak to me in verse number 10? He said, you're not going to speak to me anymore? Watch this pride. Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? Don't you know who I am? I'm a big shot. Right? I'm Pilate. I call the shots around here. I like what Jesus told him. Now, please, if you don't get anything else on this side of the message, please get this. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given to thee from above. Jesus said, Pilate, I want you to know something. You're not in charge. Just so you know. Amen? Amen. You're not in charge at all. Well, preacher, they're in charge up the road here. No, they're not. At all. At all. And Pilate said, I'm the big shot. And Jesus said, no, you're not. No, you're not. Don't let your pride stuff you full of foolishness now. We could go on and on. So here's this backdrop. Now let's have the trial. You ready? You've all been sworn in as the jury. We're going to see what the Word of God says about this person, Jesus. What do you know about Jesus? So, well, I believe he's a good man. Well, Pilate knew that. Pilate went further than that. He said, I find no fault in him. Pilate's wife said, he's a just man. What do you know about Jesus? What do you know about him? What have you done with him? You swear to tell the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God? I will, preacher. I'll tell you what I know about him. What do you know about Jesus? Do you know that he's your Redeemer? That he died on the cross for you, and that 3 days later he resurrected from the grave. And if you repent of your sin and ask him to come into your life and save you, he will save you by his amazing grace. Now, how can that be? Well, let's see what the Bible. Let's take some witnesses. Who are we going to call to the stand first? John the Baptist. How many of you know who John the Baptist is? You don't know who John the Baptist is? Raise your hand if you know who John the Baptist is. Raise it high. There you go. There you go. Got to make sure you're awake. You're in court. It's easy to fall asleep in court. Amen. What about it, John? Who's Jesus? John, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you, God. I do. Well, then you tell us. I could tell you a lot about him. I grew up with him. I'm his cousin. I watched him grow up. I watched him as a young man. I watched him as an adult. I baptized him in the River Jordan. The strangest thing happened when I baptized him. There was a voice out of heaven that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Is that your testimony of Jesus, John? It's my testimony. I remember when I looked up and I saw him coming and I said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. John, is that the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? It is the truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, John the Baptist said. Okay, John, you can step down. Who are we going to call next? Well, we got this rugged fisherman, and he wants to come and testify. Bring him in. What's your name? State your name for the court. My name is Peter. Peter? Yeah, Peter. Peter, what do you know about this man, Jesus? Well, I know I denied him. But he still loved me. I denied him, but he still loved me. He asked me one time, whom do men say that I am? And we told him, and then he said, whom do you say that I am? And he said, I stand by my confession that day. I want all the court to know that my confession that day is still my confession today, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Is that your testimony of Jesus, Peter? It is, sir. Okay, you can step down. Who we have next? John. John? Yeah, I'm Peter's brother. Tell us, John. What do you know about this man, Jesus? Well, me and Peter, we left our fishing business to follow him. You did? We did. I can tell you this. No one's ever loved me like Jesus loved me. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. I've never seen love like this man had to me. For God so loved the world. John, wait a minute. Yes, I'm telling you what I wrote, that Jesus spoke. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Is that your testimony, John? John, is that your testimony? It is. But it goes further than that. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now listen, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John, is that your testimony of Jesus? It is. He's everything that he said and more. Who we have next? Well, we got this guy named Thomas. Thomas. Thomas, it says here that you doubted him. I did. I doubted him. I said that I wouldn't believe except I seen the wounds in his hands and the wound in his side. He said, but he came back and he said, look, at put your hands here. See the wounds. Thrust your hand in my side. And he said, I now believe. And he said, I want to tell you that he is my Lord and he is my God. That's what Thomas said. John chapter 20. Who you got next? Well, we got a man here by the name of Saul. Saul, bring him in. Saul, you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, I will. And by the way, sir, my name's not Saul, it's Paul. Paul? Yeah, see, Saul means big man, which I thought it was. Paul means little man, which I found out that's what I was. Well, Paul, Saul, whatever your name is, tell us, what's your testimony of this Jesus? Well, I tell you, you probably heard, I wreaked havoc on his people. I went around and captured all the women, the children, the men, and I held them into prison. I killed them. I even had one of his own by the name of Stephen. As they stoned him to the death, they laid his garments in my face. Paul, 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 enough of that. What do you think about Jesus? Well, I'm getting there. Can I tell you that as I was going to get some letters, I was on the road to Damascus. I think Paul has told that story before. And he said, as I was on the road to Damascus, there was this bright light. It was greater than the noonday sun. And it knocked me off the horse and it knocked me down on the ground. And he said, I said unto him, who art thou, Lord? Well, what was your answer, Paul? Well, Peter denied him. And John at the garden forsook him. Judas betrayed him. And Thomas doubted him. But I persecuted him. And he said, why persecutest thou me? My name is Jesus. I persecuted him. And I'm sorry that I did. But I want to tell you that the grace of God turned it all around. And I am what I am today by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. I am the least of the apostles. But Paul, we want to know what you think about Jesus. What about this Jesus? He is the firstborn of every living creature. He is the express image of God the Father. He is, as a mystery, God in the flesh. is this Jesus? Paul, was that your testimony of this person, Jesus Christ? It is. I have so much more to say. Well, Paul, we don't have time. You step down now. You step down. These are all men that testified about Jesus. Yeah, you know, that's just like a man. Call all men. Is there no women? Is there no women that you could get to testify of this Jesus? We have plenty. Who do you want to start with? Mary Magdalene? Cast out devils? Mary, the sister of Martha, that sit at his feet and learned in humility? What about Martha? We'll stick with Martha. You remember Martha, don't you? Martha, come to the stand. Martha, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God, I do. You may be seated. What can you tell us about this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Well, I can tell you this. He frequently visited our home. He visited our house. Myself, my sister Mary, and my brother Lazarus. As a matter of fact, on one occasion, there was a time when our brother Lazarus died. And we didn't think that Jesus was going to make it there in time. And we just knew that had Jesus been there, that he had not died. But then yet something that happened that I never thought that my eyes would see. Jesus said, Lazarus, arise. And if so help me God, before this jury of people, Lazarus came out of the tomb. What? What? He did. Lazarus came alive. He came alive. This person, Jesus, has the power to resurrect the dead. Wow. And you saw that with your own eyes. And you're sticking by that testimony. I am. I am. So what do you think about this Jesus? I'll stick by my testimony in John 11. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There you go. You say, well, that's good. That's good witnesses. Oh, wait a minute. We're not going to get some on the other side? Let me give you just a few. What about his enemies? Let's bring the Pharisees. Nope. Just get a spokesman for them. We're bringing one Pharisee in. What can you tell us about Jesus, sir? You represent the Pharisees. What can you tell us about it? Well, I'll tell you this. He's a friend of sinners. He eats and he drinks with them publicans and sinners. Okay, you can be seated. I want to just stop right here. We're going to take court into session. Why I just say, praise God, Jesus eats and drinks with sinners. I'm glad that Jesus identifies with sinners, aren't you? Amen. Who else you got? Well, we've already heard from Pilate. I find no fault in him. There was a centurion. He oversaw his crucifixion. What would you say? I'd say, truly, this was a righteous man. Truly, that was the Son of God. A centurion? Yeah. Yeah. Sir, we have someone who says they want to testify from the regions of the damned. What? Yeah. Says his name's Judas. Judas, yeah. He was one of the 12. Judas Iscariot by name. What's Judas got to say? Oh, he sent this message. I have betrayed the innocent blood. 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 Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to be in hell forever? I have trampled over the blood of Jesus. I have passed up my opportunity to receive Christ. I have given up all hope. I am now in hell for forever because I said no and I made the wrong decision about this just man. Don't you do that now. Finally, we're going to call a thief. to the stand. Sir, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God, I do. What can you tell us about this man? Well, you know, at first, I cursed him. And I berated him. And I belittled him, but then something happened when I was hanging on the cross beside him. God opened my eyes and I saw that this was a just man. And that he had done nothing amiss. And I asked him to remember me when he came into his kingdom. And he granted that wish and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And so I can't bring a bad report about this man. I can only say that he keeps his word and that he loves his people. Well, we've heard from men in the past. We could start right here and go all the way around and hear from people today. There is story after story after story in this congregation of people that could stand up and say, Jesus made a difference in my life. Jesus made a difference in your life? Has he? He's made a difference. You think that literally thousands upon thousands and ten thousands times thousands of people throughout the scope and span of time could say that Jesus made a difference in their life and it's a farce? We're still talking about a man that walked the face of the earth over 2,000 years ago. We're still reading from a book that's hundreds, thousands of years old. We're still talking about this after all these years and it's a farce? It's only a farce if you choose to believe it willfully in ignorance. If you examine the evidence and you think for yourself, you'll know that Jesus is the Son of God. And so I'll close the way I open. What are you going to do then with this person named Christ? What are you going to do with him? You've heard the biblical evidence. You've heard it. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. Let's stand to our feet. You say, well, that's great. He's the Son of God and I'm going to heaven. Well, you might. You might go to heaven. The question is not, do you believe he's the Son of God? The question is, have you received him into your life as the Son of God? Have you repented of your sin? Do you realize you're a sinner? The Bible says you are. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus died for our sin, and he was buried. And as we celebrate this Easter 2022, he rose from a grave the third day. Hallelujah. He arose. Have you received the gospel? Have you received Jesus into your life? Has there ever been a time in your life you repented of your sin and asked Jesus to be your Savior? Can you go there right now in your mind? You remember where you were when it happened? Do you? Say, preacher, I don't think I've ever done that. Well, then I'm going to ask you personally, what are you going to do then with this person named Jesus, which is the Christ? What are you going to do with him? I'm going to ask the pianist to play. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? This is a very serious question. I'm 100% sure that God wanted me to present the gospel to you and give you an opportunity to respond to being saved in the grace of God. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And if you do, what are you doing with him? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here and you're saved and God spoke to your heart, would you come and join these that are at the altar? Would you just do that?